Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A sermon text is from our reading in the Gospel in chapter 14 of Luke, in which Jesus reminds people of their own station in life. And it's not a bad thing to have a station such. I ask you, did you ever travel by plane? I have several times when I was in the Army. I was living in New York. I was stationed in Washington. That's way across the country. And of course, that made plane travel absolutely necessary. I always wanted to travel by train when I looked into it, but that would cost almost three times as much and take 10 days to cross the same distance that I could get for a lot less and only in 6 hours, you know. So, you know, when you get a 10-day leave, you don't take a 10-day train. On planes, I almost always traveled by coach. In fact, I did travel by coach. Well, I didn't understand really the difference between coach and first class, except that coach costs a whole lot less. And when you're in the Army, money is foremost on your mind. The seats in coach, well, they were narrow, three across, and sitting next to the window, if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to get past two other people. They had to squeeze past them to get to the restroom. Sitting in the middle seat, well, that made you really cramped. You felt like you were being crushed by the other two on either side. You weren't really, but it was still very cramped. If you sat on the aisle seat, well, those other two had to squeeze past you to get to the restroom. Or you had to stand up in the aisle next to somebody else who was standing up in the aisle with very low overhead. So, you know, coach wasn't exactly wonderful. No matter what seat you took, as a matter of fact, there was absolutely no leg room in coach. If the person in the seat behind you moved, you always got your seat bumped with a jolt. And I'm sure the same thing happened to the guy sitting in front of you when you moved. Well, one year in the winter of 1966, yes, I'm that old. I remember the blizzard of 66. A snowstorm caused the cancellation of my flight from New York back to my base in Washington. The storm, well, the airport was cleared in a day and a half. Runways were made usable once again. But this time the airlines apologized for the delay by seating me in first class. What a difference. Wide seats, only two in a row. Plenty of leg room so your seat didn't get bumped and you could get out to the aisle without greatly disturbing the person sitting next to you. And oh my, the service from the stewardesses was incredibly courteous. There were even free drinks for those who wanted. What a difference from coach. And by the way, I understand service has changed considerably in that time, but still in all, it was a real experience. You know, with that kind of treatment, it's easy to think of yourself, shall we say, as exalted, someone of importance. Well, be that as it may, time passes. And here in America, we don't think much about station in life because we think that all men are created equal. And that's the way our government is set up, really. We don't have kings and queens, princes and princesses to bow down to. But even so, when you get right down to it, we evaluate ourselves by looking at the people around us and determine where we fit in. Where we fit in at work, where we fit in at home, at school, at church, wherever. And you know, we generally don't like where we actually fit. And so we struggle to advance our station in life. In our struggle to promote ourselves, take care of ourselves, protect ourselves, and advance ourselves, we find ourself to be in the depths of self-exaltation. In our gospel reading this day, Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And with that statement, Jesus shoots a flaming dart at every lifestyle that most of us live. Self-exaltation shouldn't really be surprising to us. It was the stumbling block for Adam and Eve way back in the garden, the cause of original sin. The serpent said, "Go ahead, it's okay, eat it. You will be like gods." Hey, I'd like to be like God. So they ate the forbidden fruit, and frankly, all hell broke loose and I mean that literally. They ran from God. They hid in shame. They spoke lies and deception, and all from the desire to exalt themselves. Now, instead of being one with God and one with each other, their relationships were broken. Christ Jesus came to restore our relationships, one with another and above all with God. In our gospel reading, Jesus shows the impact of self-exaltation on our lives, as well as our need for constant healing. You see, Jesus had been invited to eat at the house of a Pharisee, the text says. The text says they were watching him carefully. But they are enemies. And frankly, the whole thing is a trap. Jesus' disciples are probably thinking that the Pharisees are, well, they finally come around to honoring Jesus the way they should. They're thinking that Jesus and they will be in the first class section rather than in coach. It is unlikely that they considered the invitation to be a trap. But you read the gospel and it says, he was invited to the house and there was a man suffering from dropsy. You know that's a trap. By the way, dropsy is a swelling of the body from fluid-filled tissues. You see, I'm convinced that that man was put there by the Pharisees to see if Jesus would do anything on the Sabbath. And for the Pharisees, the man, of course, he was suffering because he was a sinner, so they would simply have ignored him. They couldn't see him as a human being in need. They were, in effect, blind to that man. Blind men who thought they could see everything ever so clearly. Their self-exaltation is what blinded them. But Jesus looked at the man, and he saw that man as a child of God, suffering in misery and ashamed of his disease. So Jesus healed him. Then he said to the Pharisees, Which of you, having a son or an ox? I love the comparison. Is your son an ox? You know, which do you love more? Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. Like the Pharisees, our drive to exalt ourselves blinds us to the needs of others. And think about it. You've got to admit this is true. Have you ever gone shopping in a crowd of fellow shoppers and never really noticed them, passing by them to get your work done? Sure you have. How many opportunities to witness to God's redeeming love have passed you by not noticing people, especially people in need? There is life in seeing those who need to be seen. Our striving for greatness, our self-exaltation, leads only to brokenness with our fellow human beings. Now, Jesus is at the Pharisees' house, and he told a parable to those there, the ones jockeying for places of honor. He told them, when invited to a wedding feast, don't automatically take the place of honor, for someone greater than you may come and embarrass you. You will be embarrassed. You'll have to take the least important place. Oh, by the way, when I give a sermon, I sometimes paraphrase scripture, but the intent is still there. Instead, take the lowest place. Then your host will move you to a higher place. Of course, I have paraphrased there, but the message is clear. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. No paraphrase this time. Don't barge into first class. By the way, try that on an airline. Go into first class on a coach ticket. You may be excluded. I guarantee you will be excluded. Take a seat in coach, and you may be asked to move up to the better section. First class seats are almost always reserved. When we exalt ourselves, we really cannot see ourselves for who we really are, and that sets us up to be humiliated. This is not the kind of humility that Christ wants. This is shameful humility. I'm sure you've seen that kind of person. They like to take credit for things they didn't really do, for something someone else did, and they think they get away with it. But everyone sees that self-exalted person sooner or later, and this self-important person is humiliated when someone speaks up to what is really true. They try to make themselves look better, and wind up looking worse, like the guest who took the seat of honor, not realizing his imperfections, only to be told to move down to a less important place. Self-exaltation results in brokenness. Brokenness in our identity. Jesus then gives another message. When you give a feast, don't invite your friends for dinner, knowing they will repay you. Invite someone who cannot repay you. Well, the feast, of course, is not just a family dinner. It's a celebration of some kind. A promotion at work, perhaps. Perhaps the birth of a child, or perhaps a wedding, or an upcoming wedding. It's something really big. You want people to share in the festivities. So who do you invite? Your boss? Well, that's a good way to make points with him and or her. Your friends? Your relatives? Well, they'll see how successful you are, and they will feel obligated to repay you one way or another for your hospitality. But here's the reality. We never leave the first-class cabin to go back to coach and invite someone up. Hospitality is so broken that what Jesus says not to do seems normal, and what he says to do seems wrong. In his letter, St. James writes, and I'm not paraphrasing, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions, you adulterous people." James is very tough on his readers. He spares no words. But the fact is, self-exaltation is nothing more than pure idolatry, with yourself being your idol. And this idol has broken our relationship with God, our community, our identity, and with any real hospitality. Now, there is something very important. Along with Jesus' warnings, he makes a wonderful promise. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Go sit in the lower place at a feast, and when your host tells you to move up, you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. All the separation caused by self-exaltation is repaired by Christ. Once separated from Christ, alienated from Israel and strangers to the promise, without hope, the blood of Christ has closed the gap. We are one in him. Our brokenness is healed. Jesus humbled himself. He didn't come to sit in first class, nor in coach for that matter. He came to be a servant to all, to serve those in first class and in coach. No matter where they sit, he has given freedom from the fears that drive us to self-exaltation. Hear the words St. Peter wrote in his first letter. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So as you leave today, embrace the new unity we have in Christ. Notice other people, their needs and their hopes, and practice a hospitality that shows God's unconditional love. God has given us faith and his perfect love. And according to John, perfect love casts out all fear. We are a new people in Christ Jesus. He has said to us who believe, "Friend, move up higher." In his name, amen.